Well, hello, this is Latrice Collins, and welcome to The Career Brand. We are so excited today. You know, we've been working really diligently at identifying topics that really helps you to succeed in this world. What can you do to really increase your potential on either getting a job, successfully networking, or getting promoted to a higher level? Well, today's show is focusing on salary negotiation tips. I'm really excited. We have back as a guest with us, Akilah Griffin, who, as you all know, she is the executive partner advisor to the Appointed Talent Acquisition, and she leads the specialty recruitment for one of the world's fifth largest, excuse me, not one of the world's fifth largest mortgage and financial services company in the nation. Akilah, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
You know, one of the reasons I linked so easily to Akilah a couple years back is, one, she has the perfect spirit to helping people. And then to find
out that you do.
I mean, you know what? It just oozes off of you. And Akilah, I was talking to another leader in the business, and, you know, we're going through, you know, specialists and people who really give back to this world and help people to develop themselves. And they said, you know, I don't know if you know this young lady. Her name is Akilah Griffin, and she is really phenomenal at her craft. And I said, huh, I think I know her. So, and
thank
I had
you.
To agree
that
with
means
them.
A lot.
I had to agree with them. So easy to work with, you know, has the right spirit. So really grateful that I'm able to bring you on the show and you've able to squeeze us into your schedule, because I know you have a tight schedule, but, you know, always willing to help.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
So this week's show, everybody, is on salary negotiations. So if you'd like to call in, I know last week we had callers coming in. So if you'd like to call in on this show, please feel free to call at 347-324-5330. Again, that's 347-324-5330. So we went through, I think, a six-part series on really going through job hunting and helping you to identify what to do to get that job. So we've gone through networking with Mark Shore. We're going through, I got laid off, now what do I do next, with Foster Williams, and creating the interview strategy with Akilah again. We went through the 9 interview parts with Akilah, and finding and networking with recruiting with Foster as well. And now we are focusing on salary negotiations. So salary negotiations is all about the money. It's about being able to say, I know now that I'm going to get, they're offering me this job. I have to figure out what is the right balance, the right amount to accept or ask for in order for us both, ourselves and the company, to be happy with the job. So Akilah, let's jump in right quick. You know, when should we start inquiring about a salary?
Well, let me start by saying, when should you consider the goals in your salary? Is that okay if we chat about that a little bit?
Absolutely, that
comes before worrying about, okay, when should I have the talk? Well, the preparation is a huge part. So, of course, first let's consider your goal in the negotiation. Should they come, that's the end game, that you want that offer. You want to make sure you are focusing on getting the highest salary and best benefits as possible. And to do that, you've got to make sure you're well-versed on the role that you're interviewing for, the job that you are going to be doing in the industry that you're going into. So there's some research involved. There's some homework on the front end, just like the homework you did when we talked about preparing your interview strategy. Same thing. So to do that, make sure you're able to negotiate the highest salary before shooting for more or better benefits, if you have to get to a point where you're actually negotiating and presenting counters. Because if you don't, you will definitely leave money on the table. So I would say when the right time to inquire about salary is first, once the research is done, your mindset and your expectations are already established, right?
Before you go, now that you jumped into that one, now that you jumped in, can you back up a little bit for our guests? Because
sure.
I think what you just said is powerful, and I want them to know how to do that. So
absolutely.
How do they do that research before
absolutely.
They even getting to know and ask?
Absolutely. So if you are to ensure you're being offered the right salary for the job, there's a couple of different resources that you can use. And, of course, Google is like the first go-to, right? But there's so many resources out there. You don't know which salary website is the best, which one is the worst. And really and truly, any information surrounding that is going to be beneficial to you. I would always recommend that if you're using Google as a search opportunity to say, you know, how much do XYZ make in this job, then do that, but obtain at least 3 to 4 resources. I recommend 2 off top because they're very accurate, and one of them are very user-friendly, and you could put in a job from entry level to hourly to even contractor. And that resource is called payscale.com. So, again, if you go through that website, it will give you almost everything that you need to know if you're going to be moving to a different state. You can search what the cost of living is versus the salary that you're currently getting and the current cost of living that you have in the state you're in. So it's a wealth of knowledge out there, but I recommend payscale.com. And then the second, probably most important, because this will really give you indication on where the offer may come in at, if you know the company is a startup, for example, or if the company is established, or if the company is heavily regulated, and that's the Department of Labor and Statistics. Same thing, you can research the field that you're going into, get an idea of not just the national, regional, and local averages on salaries in your work field, but make sure you look at where is the low point of this particular job, where is the midpoint, and where is the high end of the salary, because understanding those ranges will also better prepare you for negotiations, because you definitely don't want to negotiate yourself out of an offer either.
Right. So let me, do you mind if I kind of pick in some of these areas you're talking about so
sure,
I can make sure we're really, because this is fantastic. The idea that, again, she said, Payscale, PayScale.com, payscale.com,
right,
to go to whether it's
right,
contract, whether it's part-time hours or full-time, right? The second
correct,
site I missed of yours, what was the second one you said?
It's the Department of Labor and Statistics, and the listeners can simply Google that phrase, and it will be the first thing that pops up. And that one's a lot more dependent upon quarterly and annual reports, but it still gives them a really good indication of what the ranges of an offer may look like for their particular
okay,
job.
Gotcha. Okay, so now you have 2 tools now. One, you have exactly payscale.com. I think everybody should mark that as a favorite. And then 2,
yes,
do a search on the Department of Labor and Statistics, and then go to it so you can – and now you got a deep dive. You get to understand the companies, and you get to understand kind of the roles. Now, important point. Akilah brought up there's low points, midpoints, and high points. Now, the faulty
yeah,
error a lot of people make is they think they deserve a high point. They don't consider anything else but that they deserve the high point, right? Because they
right,
work hard. What are some factors to consider when you're thinking about that range?
When you're thinking about the high point, if you're looking at the higher end of that, there's so many factors. I mentioned one, which would be like the dynamics of a company. You really have to understand the position the company is in to be able to offer you what they deem competitive, might not be competitive based on the company you came from. So you never want to go in there and say, nope, this is what I made, this is exactly, you know, what I'm taking, no more, no less, because there's other things, and there's a few questions I know we're going to get to in the show that's going to go over this a little bit more, but those are the things you need to consider when you're looking at those numbers on those websites and you think, oh, wow, okay, great, so I should have an offer coming at this. You might and you might not. But understanding that company's dynamics will help you put some perspective around that and understand what their particular competitive range is. But it's gotcha. Still a good indication, those resources, definitely.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So I'm going to stop now and let you keep going with your questions so they can get the most out of this. Thanks, Kekila.
Absolutely. No problem.
So we were getting into now, when should they inquire?
So when you should start salary negotiations, first of all, if you, if the listeners remember, in your screening process, bear in mind that the recruiter or the hiring leader that first reaches out to you and they're doing the bare screening, trying to determine, okay, I understand what the resume says. One of the other requirements they have to determine is, can we even afford? And so usually they will ask you the question on the front end, on the very beginning, even before you go into your interview, and say, can you please share with me what your salary expectations are? And so keep that in mind when you first engage anybody that's talking to you about a job. This is well before the interview, well before the offer. So when people say, well, where do the negotiations start? In my opinion, they really start right there, because if your answer changes from the time you were screened and said, this is what my expectation is, by the time you're done with your interview and now they're handing you an offer on paper, please know that those recruiters, those hiring managers, they have that note from what you said the first time. So mm-hmm. that is why I mentioned the research at the very beginning is so important, because you really want to make sure your message is consistent. Just as you relay a consistent message in your skills, you have to relay a consistent message in what you're looking for in terms of pay, because you don't want them to think that you're just focused on the money. So the best time to ask, I don't recommend that you ask any employer, how much does a job pay? Because that immediately is kind of a red flag. It's like, wow, what about the opportunity? What about mm-hmm. this great stuff we saw on your resume? You seemed like someone that would focus on the opportunity before the money. And I know what some listeners are probably thinking, well, the money is important, and it is. But companies can offer tangible benefits and intangible benefits. Remember, that interview is to determine fit first. And they've already mm-hmm. asked you what your requirements are, so you really have to feel confident that, okay, they're engaging conversations with me, they've already interviewed me, so surely if an offer comes, they already know my expectations. So don't right. go into anything saying, how much does it pay? Because that totally derails their thought of you as a candidate in terms of what's the most important, the opportunity and what you can contribute or what the paycheck will say. Right. Even if that is your frame of mind, that is not something, you know, that you want to disclose. So let them ask you, let the employer ask you, and you'll know when that conversation is coming, because you will have had a second interview by then, or you would have engaged in some lunch interviews, some more intimate conversations that let you know, okay, they're very interested. Let me go ahead and prepare for offer discussions.
Right. Now, wouldn't you also say, when they ask you the question of your salary expectations, doesn't it come across stronger if they say, well, that's negotiable once we really get to identify more about the position itself and how I can mm-hmm. help best really help provide lift for that organization? And the reason I say that, well, the reason I'm saying the answer is not a set answer. Because
right.
when you did the research, for instance, the research might have told you, for instance, the position of a project manager, it shows a full range from, you know, low to high, and typically what the high
right.
skills would be, what the low skills would be. But you may figure out in that interview that their job description said low descriptions at first. So you would have thought X amount of dollars makes sense for that description. But by the time
right.
you finish your interview process, you realize – this is a higher-end job, more responsibilities, you know, more tasks and strategies, more time is going to be taken from your family life to do it, and that's fine because you're skilled to do it, but it sure does shift where you see the salary requirements should be in that role. So
correct.
So sometimes it's good to ask, what is the range of what the position is offering, and then see if that fits within your range. And then the exact salary is negotiable once you understand more about the scope of the job through the interview process.
Right. And some companies will say, well, I'm sorry, we don't give out ranges. Have you heard that before? Some companies will say, I'm sorry, we don't disclose that, but we do gather information in terms of what your requirements are. I would urge candidates and listeners out there to not get discouraged by that, but actually use that as an opportunity to leverage the fact that, okay, for me, that screams we're up for negotiation. We will and you will have the power to negotiate. So don't let that be a roadblock for you. Definitely.
Yes. And then for that reason, if they're saying that, they have a different window, so it's better not to put a single dollar amount out there. And I'm just talking about the first interview, right? That first one when they're screening to see if you're a fit, right? It's the one that now you've done some research and you know where that range should be. To Akilah's point, their range might be significantly smaller. So it might be the range is, let's say, $50,000 to $100,000 for the role, where their range might be, you know, 60 to 80. It may not even touch the 100,000, or it might be 70 to 100. You don't know yet on that. So you really got to understand the role through the interview process. But if you know you are not going to take a job making $50,000, right, and they give you some number, then you really got to consider what are the counter benefits that's going to be provided that even makes you consider such a role.
Exactly.
Hey, Akilah, I need to break for a quick commercial. And then, guys, this is fantastic information. Hope you're taking a lot of notes. And then we have just about 10 minutes left, and I'm going to stop asking Akilah questions and have her go through. I'm going to stop jumping in with you and just ask you some questions and see if we can help them as best as we can in the time we have available.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, back in a minute, guys.
We all know that companies have a brand, but what about you? What's your career brand? TheCareerBrand.com will help you identify your brand, your career brand. Navigating the career landscape can be daunting and challenging, but you don't have to go it alone. TheCareerBrand.com is dedicated to guiding professionals through the career branding process. With the use of cutting-edge tools, training, and consulting top career coach, author, and creator of TheCareerBrand.com, Latrice Collins. At thecareerbrand.com, you will find incredible and useful career branding books by Latrice Collins that will show you the ways of breaking through the glass ceilings. Men and women of all ages have raved about the benefits they receive from these books. Also, don't miss Latrice Collins' webinar, Brand Ignition. Companies are always looking for the best talent. With Latrice Collins and the tools at thecareerbrand.com, you will demonstrate to employers you are that talent. To learn more, visit thecareerbrand.com.
And we're back. So, Akilah, so we've covered, you've given us the tools they can look at. You know they're doing some research. You've talked to us about starting the thought of the negotiation right at the beginning when they're telling you about the job, meaning when we say talk about negotiation, you're hearing what the job is required, sometimes what the range is and things like that, sometimes.
Correct.
How do you know, so is these are the ways that you know that you're being offered the right salary for the job being provided, or is there something else to add to that?
Well, those were a couple of ways you can know if you're being offered the right salary. And again, until you actually engage and get that offer letter with that first amount that they offer you, you really and truly don't know where the conversation may go, but at least then you have a starting point. It's good for the listeners to understand when you do get the amount on the offer letter, that is generally going to be a little bit below midpoint or right at the top. If they don't want to negotiate and they really want you to come on board with no ifs, ands, buts, everybody is great with what they've presented, then they may jump high, but that's very, very few and far between. Usually you will see that at a C-suite level. And by C-suite, I mean like a chief or executive level, because they already know, okay, this is exactly where we need to be. But some other ways to determine that you're getting the best salary offer is to look at you know, look at where your personal budget lies as well. When a company says this is what we can pay you, they may not know all of your nuances and day-to-day expenses. So it's not about are they offering me the best salary, it is am I accepting the best salary that I need to make. And that is where you, of course, look at your personal budget. And there's all kinds of things that you definitely want to take in consideration outside of the normal, you know, bills and things like that, but commuting expenses, travel expenses, if you're going to be traveling for the job, lunch, do you, you know, take your lunch to work, or are you somebody that goes out and eats lunch outside of work? It sounds small, but those are the dollar amounts on a monthly basis that you really have to calculate for yourself first and roll that into deciding whether or not that offer you get is in line with what you need. So, of course, those online resources are great, but at the end of the day, you determine, if I accept this, am I going to not only have a good work-life balance, you know, physically from doing the job and engaging inside of work and outside of work, but financially, is it balanced? And that is a question you will have to determine for yourself on the front end. But those are some ways that you can determine whether or not you're getting the best salary. A lot of times, and this is probably one of the most standard, the recruiter will tell you, or the hiring manager will tell you, here's our pay structure. Here are the different ways that you can advance your career here. Listen to those cues in those interview conversations, because a lot of times they will tell you the career path, and sometimes they will disclose, okay, it stops here. In other words, we have a ceiling or we don't have a ceiling. That's another way you can determine if your offer is positioning you for, which I know that is kind of leads into our next topic, but that helps you determine if what you're initially being offered is in line with what you need for that particular role.
So something to consider, when you go on that interview and you see you got to go on toes, Texas is big on toes for those of you listening in Texas. And so if you just go through one toll at like $1.25, one toll, that adds up to just going and coming. That's $480 about approximately per year in just the toll that now you have to pay. If you have to go through, like I go through, I think two or three tolls, if you go through that, you're talking $1,000. And you didn't do anything different, but you got on a tollway. Plus, there's more in gas. So just by the change of proximity to where you live, you may have taken a job that's going to cost you $2,000 more just to work there. So you, when you put down all these items that Akilah's describing, when you put that on paper, then no, you have a base of what you want to make. You have to add those items to it. So you know, instead of asking for 60, I need to ask for 62 so that I can really make 60, right?
Correct.
Okay, Akilah. So keep going, Akilah, with more of you know, what to do next, what to think about.
Absolutely. So in terms of once you've gotten that offer, started those negotiations, one of the other questions is, you know, when do I really start the hard negotiations, right? When they send me that offer letter and I look at it, if it's something I don't like, what do I do next? Well, one of the things that the listeners really need to also understand is that for the most part, employers expect candidates to counter. And the reason for that is, now that's not always the case, but they expect it, right? They prepare for receiving counteroffers, especially a couple of reasons if the job is in high demand, if they have a competitor, or if the market is just competitive, or if it's just a job seeker's market, which in some cases within DFW we find that a lot of. But that's in a perfect world, we would love for it to always be in the job seeker's favor. But know that going in, they expect a counter. A lot of times people are afraid to ask for more money because they feel like that is going to shoot down their chances of getting that job. You've already gotten the offer. So that is the open door to say, okay, here's the moment where you negotiate. If it is for some reason not in line with a lot of those things Latrice just talked about, if it's not in line, here's where you talk about it. The other thing to note, you don't want to drag out negotiations either, because offers can be rescinded. And rescinded means they can say, you know what, thank you, we've considered your counteroffer, but at this time we are going to rescind your offer and move forward with another candidate. You do not want to drag out negotiations too long, because that's always a possibility. So again, with the question of, you know, when do I get into the nuts and bolts of it, and that time is when you're ready to present them with something different. The employer is going to make sure that your justification statement and what that is pretty much your goal that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. When you get together a goal in terms of what you want for your salary, when you have in mind, here is why I should be paid a certain amount of money, almost like an elevator pitch, but it's really your personal statement of why you're good at what you do. That justification statement is what you really want to make sure you have prepared when it is time for negotiations, because when you ask for more, you need to be able to justify, thus the term justification statement, justify, here is why I am countering. Here is why I am asking for an extra $5,000 or an extra $5,000 plus bonus opportunity. Those would be the times when you really start those negotiations.
Now, second, let me say something about that.
Sure.
Real quick about that justification statement. Guys, you have to tailor the justification statement to how it benefits them, not just, I'm good, I work hard, I know something. They already took that in consideration. But because of all the conversations you've had with them, you know there's problems that you can resolve. You know there's solutions that you can implement. You want to put that into what you bring to the table when she's saying put the justification in it, so they can say, you know what, that's right. That is going to be the difference maker, because that person sometimes has to push to go beyond the cap that was already established, and they have to be able to show that information, that nut and bolts information, to that executive who's going to agree to push the salary up.
Right. So with that, with the last point, to summarize that, I was going to give you some key points in terms of justification statement, but also kind of some tricks in ways to make sure that that message is delivered. And that is, what you can do to prepare is summarize about 3 to 4 key points, and really know all of them very well, so you can, you know, be able to discuss those in the negotiation. But to Latrice's point, you definitely want to make sure there is an added value feature in that statement, but make sure you draw parallels to your old job and or profession in terms of how that can be leveraged in that company. That's one point. And then the second point of that is, you definitely want to instill confidence in the employer when they're looking at your counteroffer that you can do the same job for them plus more, especially if presented with the right salary and the right benefits. Just as they are going to provide tangible and intangible benefits, you also are going to provide tangible and intangible benefits. And let's not forget to mention the sweat equity in that. There's just some jobs that you have and you go above and beyond, and that needs to come out in those negotiations as well.
Fantastic. We only have seconds left. Akilah, how can people reach you if they need to reach you?
They can reach us on social media. Of course, we're on Twitter, Facebook, as well as Google+, and it's simply Appointed Talent. If you search that, you can pull us up there. But always welcome to call directly at 469-777-8354.
Wonderful. And again, this is Latrice Collins from The Career Brand. You all can always reach us at either thecareerbrand.com, or you can email us at info@thecareerbrand.com, or call us at 972-789-5159. It's been fantastic. Akilah, thank you so much for everything you've shared with us.
No problem. Thank you as well for having me again.
Okay. We will be replaying this for people. So, guys, have a great day. Take great notes. Okay, the show is off air. And I am going to call you because he's going to hang up on you.